Amen. Thank you, choir. Be careful. Somebody's going to think you're having fun in church. Can't be doing that. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. And I do apologize. The outline that is in the bulletin is incorrect. I'm not sure exactly how that managed to get in there. That sermon's from a long, long time ago. But the title of the message today is In Your Friendships. We are in the series Show and Tell, and this is the last of that series, and I can tell you the 3 points, because we are, you know, we have to do 3 points. It's some sort of code. But anyway, the 3 points all begin with B-E, as in, I don't know what part of speech that is, so, but anyway. Each one of my points today will begin with B something. So anyway, as I was saying, we began now 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago technically, this is the fourth sermon, talking about show and tell. And show and tell in your faith is what we begin with. We talked about a faith that saves, a faith that serves, and a faith that shows. We talked about show and tell in your family and how Abraham listened to his family over God, how he led his family to doubt God, but then ultimately got things right and led his family to follow God, to trust God. Now, we all make mistakes, and we should be working to lead our family and others to trust God, as Abraham ultimately did. Last week, we talked about show and tell in our finances, and we need to remember to know where our money comes from, to know where the needs are, and to know where to give. God wants us to be good stewards of all that he's entrusted to us. He wants us to be faithful and cheerful givers in every aspect of our life, not just our finances. But today, we're going to focus on show and tell in your friendships. Now, friends are a real blessing, and real friends are hard to come by. We all need good friends in our life. We all need people around us who encourage us, people who will help us along when we need to be lifted up, when we need that extra strength. We have to have people in our lives that will do that for us. We also need people around us who will tell us the truth when we don't want to hear it. People who love us enough to genuinely care about us and say the things that we may not want to hear, but we ultimately need to hear. The thing about real friends is they will love you in your blind spots. Those things that you can't see, those things that you're sometimes unaware of, they'll love you in spite of those things that you can't see, but they'll help you see. Real friends aren't critical, they're not judgmental, but they're honest. Today I want us to look closely at a text that gives us some insight on how to be a real friend. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. On one of those days, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and also from Jerusalem. The Lord's power to heal was in him. Just then some men came carrying on a mat a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on the mat through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to think, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied to them, "Why are you thinking this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He told the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then everyone was astounded, and they were giving glory to God, and they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen incredible things today." May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word is not just a truth, but absolute truth. Lord, open our hearts and minds and help us to hear from you. Lord, help us to apply your truth today. Lord, help us to truly show and tell our love for you in how we work in our relationships and how we are a friend to those around us. God, right now I pray that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. A First of all, in this text, I want you to see, we're going to look at this and see three ways to be a real friend. The first way to be a real friend is to be attentive. Now, what we notice about the lame man's friend in the text that we just read, these friends were aware of their friend's greatest need. They knew that he needed healing. Now, it's easy to sit here and say, well, that was obvious. Hello? I mean, he couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't walk. Of course, that was obvious. But if we'll stop and think for just a minute, we'll realize that we go through every day walking by obvious needs and not paying attention. There are people in our lives around us, people that we come in contact with, even on a daily basis, who have needs, and we go right on by not recognizing those needs, not paying attention to those needs. Perhaps it could be someone in your workplace who has a need, who has a concern, and instead of bringing it up, you think to yourself, well, you know, I don't want to bring it up. I don't want to, you know, make an issue of it. I don't want to cause them any harm. But the real truth deep down inside is not so much that we're concerned about bringing it up to them. It's more that we're afraid it's going to be messy. We're afraid it's going to take a little time. You know, I don't have time to get into all that and to deal with all that. But the truth of the matter is, if we really care about those around us, we're going to be willing to get our hands dirty, be willing to get involved in those things that aren't easy, that aren't comfortable to deal with, but are necessary to deal with because of our love and our concern for them. I mean, let's face it, we should be praying for our friends, and there's nothing wrong with letting our friends know that we're praying for them. And given the right situation and the right opportunity, there's nothing wrong with actually praying for your friend in the workplace, praying for your friend in the middle of Walmart, wherever the case may be, wherever God gives opportunity, where it is clear that God is leading you to pause and minister to this person. Do what you need to do to honor God in that moment. Share with them. We need to be encouraging others and letting them know we're praying for them and literally praying with them when we can. There may be someone you know going through some struggles in their marriage or in other relationships in their life. You don't have to have all the answers to their issues, but you can pray with them. You can be attentive to them. You can recognize that they have a need. I have to be honest, guys. The ladies are a whole lot better at that than we are. Ladies, you seem to be more in tune, more aware. You seem to be more attentive to the needs of those around you, of your friends around you. But all of us can be attentive when we ask God to open our eyes, when we ask God to help us to see those needs around us. We may not know all their needs, and we may only see outward symptoms of what's really underlying, but God can help us minister to them and to recognize the fact that they have a need. However, if you're not willing to be attentive, if you're not willing to take time to be attentive, you're not going to figure out what those needs are. I'll be honest, I don't pay much attention at all to horse racing, but we do have a chance this year to have a Triple Crown winner. American Pharoah has a chance because he's won the first two legs of the Triple Crown to win it. That hasn't happened since 1978 when Affirmed won it. In 1973, though, Secretariat won the Triple Crown. Secretariat, if you've never seen the movie that bears his name, it's a great movie. And I don't really know, I haven't done the research to go back and see how much it exactly follows everything that transpired, but I know it's pretty true to the story of what took place with Secretariat. And one of the interesting things in that movie is the race right before the Kentucky Derby. Secretariat is beaten by a horse named Sham. Now, Sham was the rival, the arch rival to Secretariat at that time, and Secretariat didn't run the way that Secretariat could run, and they were trying to figure out what was wrong, and they had a vet examine Secretariat, and they found an abscess on the gum of Secretariat. He didn't want to keep the bit in his mouth. He didn't want to run the way that he could run, and they began to treat him and got him prepared and got him ready, and then, of course, when he went to the Kentucky Derby, he won the Kentucky Derby, and then he went on to win the second leg, the Preakness, and then by an amazing feat, in the last leg, the Belmont, which is the longest of the three races, he won it by an astounding 31 lengths. I mean, that's blowing the doors off the field, so to speak. He ran away from the rest of the crowd. And to think that if they had not been attentive to what was going on with his gums, it's a possibility we may never have heard of, secretary and may never really even know. He may just be a byline in the past, but one of what many argue the greatest, but certainly one of the greatest horses in all of horse racing history, all because they were paying attention, because they were attentive to what was going on. Being attentive to your friends and asking God to open your eyes to their needs can help you see something that could truly minister to them, that could help you see something that might otherwise cause them great pain for years to come if someone doesn't come alongside them and care for them. I'll never forget church where I was serving. We had a gentleman come in and play saxophone and shared a concert with us. But during the concert, he shared his testimony. And he had always, you know, he grew up playing the saxophone, and he had played it before becoming a Christian. And he was playing it and doing the kind of things that, you know, musicians do, playing in clubs and that kind of thing. And he just really was down on life and involved in things that he didn't need to be involved in. And one night, literally in the middle of the night, early in the morning when he was really, really low, he got a phone call from a pastor that had been ministering to him, from someone who was concerned about him, from someone who cared about him. And he said, "God just put you on my heart." Well, what that musician went on to explain was, in that very moment, he had already laid out everything. He was prepared to take his life. But God prompted that brother, that pastor, to be willing to call, even in the middle of the night. He knew he was a musician. He knew he stayed up late, so he wasn't terribly concerned about calling him at probably 2 a.m. in the morning. But he followed God's leadership. And there may be people around you, it may not be as dramatic as that, but there may be people around you that need to hear from you, that need to know that someone cares, that need to know that someone is paying attention. Let God use you to minister to them in that way. We also need to be attentive to those that God puts in our lives and show them what it means to be a real friend. There may be a coworker or a neighbor or an acquaintance that you wouldn't necessarily consider a friend, but that could be simply God putting them in your life to befriend them, to show them the love of Christ, to care for them. That lost person around you needs to know that somebody cares and is not expecting anything from them in return. Too many people they've come across in their life have wanted things from them. I was talking with a young man just this week who simply told about the fact that his own father, his birth father, had stolen from him twice. He said, "You know, I've forgiven him, but I don't want to be around him. I don't want another chance to be let down by him." You don't know. You wouldn't know that from just looking at the young man. You wouldn't assume that. But there are people around you who are hurting, and they need to know that someone cares and that someone will be there for them, and someone just doesn't want something from them but just wants to be there. We can be that kind of friend to those around us. And ultimately, yes, we want to share Christ with them. We want them to know Christ, but they need to know that we care. It's been said many times, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We need to care about them so we can share the love of Christ with them. And in caring about them, we are sharing the love of Christ with them, but we need to ultimately put it to words. Real friends don't just show up when they need something. Real friends will be attentive to the needs of those around them and will show them the love of God no matter what. Remember, sometimes your friend's greatest need is not a yes man. Sometimes your friend's greatest need is someone who will be honest with them, someone who won't just agree but will tell them the truth. So the first way to be a real friend is to be attentive. The second way to be a real friend is to be available. These friends in this text, they weren't just aware of their friend's need. They were available and willing to do something to help meet that need. That the truth is, they couldn't meet his need on their own. They looked at their friend who was lame. They couldn't say, "Hey man, just get up off that mat and walk." They couldn't do it. They knew they could not do that, but they knew who could. And they took their friend, they carried their friend to Jesus. How many people do you know that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord? I have news for you. Not a single one of us in here can save any of them. But we can carry them to the one who can. We can point them to Jesus Christ, the one who can change their life. Are we willing to carry them to Christ? Part of being available to be used of God is to be available to God by living a life that gives a clear testimony, a God-honoring testimony of him in your life. If they hear you say one thing and then do another thing, you're not being available to God. None of us, myself included, likes to be told that we're doing wrong, but we need to hear it when we are. How many of you really enjoy being told you're doing wrong? I'm just curious. Russ, there's always one. The truth of the matter is we don't like to be told that we're doing wrong, but when we're doing wrong, we need to know the truth. We need to hear from those around us who genuinely love us. You know, sometimes my wife or sometimes one of my kids will point out something, and I want to be aggravated about it, but I know they're right. We need to recognize we have our own flaws, our own sins in our life that sometimes others can help us see that we've been blind to. There are Christian friends around us with needs that are not spiritual, but God reveals them to us, and we have to decide if we're willing to be available to meet those needs. Again, it could be that the need is bigger than we can handle, but it may be that we can do something to help meet that need. You know, how many times have you seen people have chicken barbecue plates to raise money to help somebody who's in need? Maybe somebody who's had bad things happen. They've been in an accident or something. And they'll provide money that way to help them with their medical needs. There are all sorts of things that we can do to help others. But one thing that you do week in and week out is because of your faithful giving to this church, you give a place where people can come and hear the Word of God. You give a place, you provide a place for this community where people can come to a church that's not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that's not ashamed of the truth of God's Word. And because you support this church faithfully, every month we're able to minister to people with food. We're able to provide for them. If they're willing to come, we're able to provide for them and give them food that will hopefully help them get a little farther along in that month. And every month, because of your faithful giving, we're able to provide a medical clinic for people who have medical needs. All of that free of charge to them. But all of that requires your support, and because you give faithfully, we're able to do those things. Things that we couldn't do individually. Things that we can do collectively because we're willing to work together to honor God. The world can seem like such a big place, and the needs around us can seem numerous and overwhelming. While it's very true that we can't meet every need, we can be aware of those needs that God wants us to be a part of meeting. If we'll be available, I'm certain He'll give us clarity. He'll give us opportunity to meet those needs. When I say we, I'm speaking in terms of us collectively as a church, but also in terms of us individually. What is it that God wants us to do as individuals? You know, sometimes God will lead us as individuals to support something that He doesn't lead the church to support. And one of the things that we need to be careful of is just because God has made us passionate about a particular need doesn't mean that He's put that same need on everybody's heart. You know, if we're all only passionate about one thing, then there'd be other needs that would go unmet. But that's why He gives you certain passions, gives you certain desires to meet various needs, so that as a body collectively, we work together to meet certain needs. But then as individuals, we're able to meet other needs as God puts things in our path. Some people have a burden to help the homeless, while others feel burden to help with addicts, and others have a heart to help those who need to learn English or need to learn to read. There's so many ways that God can use those passions in our life to meet the needs of those around us. Being a real friend is not easy, and it can be time-consuming. Truthfully, there are times when God wants us to befriend people that we really don't want to spend time with. We turn our noses up and we turn our backs on them, and we make ourselves no different than the Jews who wouldn't stop to help their brother who had been beaten and left for dead, and yet it was the Samaritan who came along and showed mercy and showed compassion and was willing to meet that stranger's needs. There may be someone that you already know that God wants you to show love and compassion to. There may be someone that you already know in your life that God wants you to minister to. Are you willing to do what it is that God's leading you to do? Are you willing to be available to care for them? These friends in this text, they didn't stand to gain anything from doing what they did. They were simply available to take care of their friend and to carry him to Jesus. So we see the first way to be a real friend is to be attentive. The second way to be a real friend is to be available. And the third way to be a real friend is to be assertive. These friends encountered an obstacle in taking this lame man to Jesus. They could have gotten there and seen this big crowd and said, "Ah, dude, man, I am so sorry. We were this close, man. We were going to get you to Jesus and he was going to do something awesome in your life. But dude, man, the crowd, look, it's just too big. We can't do anything about it. We'll just try another day. Well, you know from looking at the text, that's not how they responded. They literally went up on the roof of the house. Now, I think we ought to put in context the fact that most houses had a stairway that led to the roof of the house, okay? Wasn't like us today. We don't generally have that, but they would oftentimes go up there to cool off, to relax in the evening. So there was a path, a way for them to get to the roof of the house, but they didn't allow the crowd to keep them from Jesus. They went up to the roof of the house, and they began to peel back the tiles, peel back whatever was in the way, and to create a hole. Now, you can imagine as people are sitting there below, it's a crowded room, and if things were happening like they normally would in that day, just telling you how it actually was, Jesus, the teacher, would have been sitting, and the congregation would have been standing. So next week we're going to reverse it. I'm just kidding. But they're standing there and stuff starts hitting them on the head, you know, and they're like, man, what's going on here? And you know, I'm sure there starts to be this murmur and this little, you know, rumble going across the crowd as all this stuff is falling. And then all of a sudden there is this something, this mat that looks like it has a body on it that's coming down through the roof. Well, I'm sure they had to back up even and clear a space for him to be lowered and placed before Jesus. But the bottom line is here, they had to be assertive. They didn't sit back and say, oh, man, you know, it was just an obstacle here. Obviously, because there was an obstacle, it wasn't God's will for you today. These friends didn't buy that. I wonder how many times in our life we've come up on something we knew God was leading us to do, and because there was one obstacle in the way, we said, well, it must not be God's will. I got to be honest, the times that I've done that in my life, it was things that I didn't want to do in the first place. But sometimes God puts obstacles in our life to see if we're going to trust Him to continue going forward. That's why I would always caution you about this theology of closed door. Well, it was a closed door. Just because the door is closed doesn't mean that God's closed the door completely on something He's leading you to do. If God is leading you to do it, it may not be through the path that you imagined it would take place. It may be another way. But we need to be willing to do what God leads us to do. And these friends were willing to be assertive. These friends believed that God could change this lame man's life. So they literally were willing to carry him up on the roof and lower him before Jesus so that they could see, so that they could remove all the obstacles and see God do a work in their friend's life. To be a real friend to someone, you may have to be assertive in a different way in their life. As I've already mentioned, sometimes the greatest need that our friend has in their life, or sometimes the greatest friend that we have in our life, is for a friend to be assertive and tell us the truth. When I think about that reality, I can't help but to think about Nathan. And you may recall that he was a real friend of God, but he was also a real friend to David. Maybe not what David wanted to hear, but what David needed to hear. In 2 Samuel, beginning in verse 12, we find this. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, I kind of like the way the King James says it here, thou art the man. But the text says here, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, in other words, God is saying, to David, if I hadn't already given you enough, I would have given you more. I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. You see, Nathan was saying to David not what he wanted to hear, but what he needed to hear. He was being assertive. He was being obedient to God and doing what David needed done in his life. He needed to have the truth of his sin pointed out. Now let me say very carefully and clearly to you, it is not our job to run around and inspect everyone else's life and do all that we can to be critical of their life. But neither is it our job to only care about ourselves. Too many times we use an excuse of saying, well, I don't want to meddle in their business. If God has put it on your heart, if you have spent time praying about it, you know that you have confessed your sin and you've been spending time in your prayer closet praying about it and God has put it on your heart to go and talk to someone, you are being obedient when you go and talk to them and you're being disobedient if you don't. But if you care about them and care about what's going on in their life, you can be a real friend to them by being willing to be assertive. If you know somebody who is trapped in something, who is struggling in something, they need someone to come alongside them and to tell them the truth, to encourage them. David needed Nathan at this point in his life to tell him the truth. David was indignant about what Nathan explained to him, and then all of a sudden Nathan turned around and said, "You're the man. You did this." Being a friend is not always easy. Yes, there are times when being a friend is fun. There are times when being a friend is a joy. But there are also times when being a friend means that we love others enough to speak the truth. So always speak the truth in love, but to speak the truth. To hold one another accountable. We want easy, we want fun, but God wants us to be assertive with love. Don't give up on your friends. When they don't listen to you, pray for them. Do all that you can to be there for them. And when they're willing to listen, be willing to share. If you have a friend who has a need and it's more than you can handle, then recognize that as well and say, hey, you know, you need help. And I'm not the one to help you, but I want to take you to somebody who can. If you have somebody who's dealing with addiction and you know that, I will admit, I can't do that. I'm not equipped for that, to help someone through addiction. But my goodness, I know Dr. D can, and I know I can encourage them to get with her and encourage them. There may be other things going on around you in your friends' lives, and you're thinking, well, this is more than I can handle. Well, if you don't know what to do, then by all means, come to me or ask some brother or sister in Christ that you know is mature in the faith and say, what can I do to get my friend help? Whatever area of need it is, do what you can to minister to them and to care for them. We need to be assertive with our friends to show them the love of Christ. So to be a real friend, you must be attentive, you must be available, and you must be assertive. We all need to be real friends. God has put us in the body of Christ to be friends for one another, genuine friends. We shouldn't be superficial. We need to love one another enough to want to see each other grow in Christ. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want to say to you today, He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You see, no matter how much we as humans try to be friends to those around us, we fail them. If I haven't failed you yet, I'm going to make you this promise. I will. It's just going to happen. I'm human. I don't mean to. I don't want to, but I will. But I'll also make you this promise. If you'll trust your life to Christ, He will never fail you. No matter how many times you fail Him, He will never fail you. You may not understand. I can honestly tell you, I don't understand everything that God does. I don't get it. I don't know why He does everything that He does, but I know He has a plan in it. I know He has a purpose in it, and I have to trust it to Him. Because Romans 8:28 is true when things are good in my life, and it's true when things are rough in my life. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. It's true all the time. Sometimes it's just harder to accept that what's happening is for our good. But if you have never placed your faith in Him, I encourage you today to ask His forgiveness. Place your faith in Him. You won't regret it. He is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. You can count on Him to be there for you. Maybe you're here and you have some burden that you've been carrying, something that's been weighing you down. I want to encourage you not to continue carrying it, but instead give it to Christ. Trust it to Him and let Him handle that for you. We can allow so many things to beat us down, so many things to keep us away from Him, but don't let that happen today. Maybe you're here and God has put it on your heart to become a part of this body of believers and you want to serve Him through the ministry here. I want to encourage you, whatever God's placed in your heart in that way, you come and share that with me. Maybe you're here and you've placed your faith in Christ, but you've never followed Him in obedience through believers' baptism. Today, I hope you'll step out of that pew and say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I want to be identified with Him through baptism. Whatever it is you need to do today to let Him have His way, trust Him with it right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that Your Word is truth, and we thank You that You teach us in Your Word how to be a friend. God, help us to be like these friends, who are friends that were attentive to the needs of their friends. Friends that were available to be used of You. And Lord, friends who were willing to be assertive, to go beyond and do what needed to be done, even if there were obstacles in the way. Thank You that You were willing to overcome the obstacle of sin in our life by going to the cross and paying the price for our sins so that we could have a relationship with You. If there's anyone here today, God, that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, God, I pray right now they'd ask Your forgiveness and place their trust in You. Lord, for whatever burdens are here today, and I know there are many here whose hearts are heavy for various reasons, and God, I pray that we'd have the wisdom to give those things to You right now and allow Your Holy Spirit to minister to us as only You can. Whatever You want to do in this time of invitation, God, we give it to You. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.